I don't know how we are to get the Quillian away from them. Maybe we will see something else that will help us. If we just keep our eyes open and let the Creator guide us, maybe he will reveal what it is we can do. But I don't want either of us taking any more of a chance than we have to. We must not be discovered. He nodded. Good. That's the way I want it, too. But Jedediah, I am a sister of the light. That means I have responsibilities. Responsibilities to the Creator and all his children. Though we are now husband and wife, it's still my job to guide you. In this, we are not equals. I'm in charge, and I will only allow you to go with me if you promise to abide by that. You are not yet a full wizard. If I tell you something, you must obey. I'm still better with my hand than you are with yours. I know, Margaret. One reason I wanted to be your husband is because I respect you. I wouldn't want a weak wife. You have always guided me, and that will not change now. You've given me everything I have. I will follow you always. With a smile, she shook her head. You are a marvel, my husband. A marvel of the best kind. You will make a remarkable wizard. Truly remarkable. I've never told you, because I always feared you would let the knowledge swell your head. But some of the sisters say they think you may prove to be the most powerful wizard in 1,000 years. He didn't speak, and she couldn't see his face, but she was sure he was blushing. Margaret, your eyes are the only ones I need to see filled with pride. She kissed his cheek and then took his hand. Let's go see how we can put a stop to this. How do you know where they went? How can we follow them? It's dark as pitch in these woods. The trees hide the moon. She pinched his cheek. A trick my mother taught me. I've never shown it to anyone. When I saw them leaving the palace, I cast a pool of my han at their feet. They stepped through it. It leaves tracks of my own han. Only I can see them. Their footprints are as bright as the sun on a pond to me, but to no other. You must teach me this trick. Someday, I promise. Come on. She led him by the hand as she followed the glow of the sisters' footprints through the dense woods. Distant nightbirds called in haunting voices, owls hooted, and other creatures made low screams and clicks. The ground was uneven, tangled with roots and brush, but the glowing footprints helped her to see the way. The damp heat made her sweat, causing her dress to cling to her wet skin. When she got home, she would shield her room and she would have a bath, a long bath, with Jedediah. Then she would let him use his magic on her, and she would use hers on him. They went deeper into the Hagen woods, deeper than she had ever gone before. Vapor drifting from boggy areas carried the pervasive stench of rotting vegetation. They passed through dark gullies veiled with hanging roots and moss that brushed against her face and arms, making her flinch at the unexpected contact. The footprints led up and over sparsely wooded, rocky ridges. At the top of one, standing in the still, damp air, she looked back, out across the somber landscape. In the far distance, she could see the flickering lights of Tanamura, and set among the lights, rising up in the silvery moonlight, the Palace of the Prophets, its dark shape blocking out the lights of the city beyond. She longed to be back there, to be home. But this was something that had to be done. There was no one else to do it. The lives of everyone depended on her. The Creator was depending on her. Still, she longed to be home and safe. But home was no longer safe. It was as dangerous as the Hagen Woods, if there really were Sisters of the Dark. Even with as much as she knew, it was difficult for her to accept the idea. The prelate had to believe her. She just had to. There was no one else she could turn to for help. She wished there were even just one sister she could trust, confide in. But she didn't dare trust anyone. Nathan had warned her not to trust anyone. Even though she wished Jedediah were home and safe, she was glad to have him with her. She knew there was nothing he could do to help, but it still felt good to have him to confide in. Her husband. She smiled at the thought. She would never forgive herself if anything happened to him. She would protect him with her life if she had to. The ground pitched into a descent. Through gaps in the trees, she could see they were going down into a deep bowl in the earth. The edge was steep, and they had to move slowly so as not to send any rocks tumbling through the woods. One started to slide as her foot touched it, and she quickly used a handful of air to stop it, and then push it firmly into the ground. She sighed in relief. Jedediah followed her, a silent, comforting shadow. Her tension relaxed a little when they passed from the loose rock back into denser woods where the ground was mossy and silent to step on. A faint sound of chanting drifted to them through the thick woods, carried on heavy, fetid air. Low, rhythmic, guttural tones of words she couldn't understand resonated in her chest. Even without understanding the words, she felt revulsion at them, as if they made the air reek. Jedediah gripped her upper arm, dragging her to a halt. He put his mouth close to her ear.
"Margaret, please," he whispered. "Let's go back now, before it's too late, I'm afraid."
"Jedediah," she growled as she reached up and snatched him by the collar. "This is important. I'm a sister of the light. You're a wizard. What do you think I've been training you for? To stand on the street down in the market and perform tricks? To have people throw coins at you? We serve the Creator. He has given us everything we have so we may use it to help others. Others are in danger. We must help. You're a wizard. Act like one."
She could just see his wide eyes in the faint light. He sagged slightly as the tension went out of his muscles.
"I'm sorry. You're right. Forgive me. I will do what I must. I promise."
Her anger cooled.
"I'm afraid, too. Touch your hand. Keep a firm grip on it, but not too tight. Hold it so you can release it in an instant, as I've taught you. If anything happens, don't hold back. Don't be afraid of how much you might hurt them. If you do need your power, anything less than all of it will not be enough. If you keep your head, you're strong enough to defend yourself. You can do it, Jedediah. Have faith in what I've taught you, what all the sisters have taught you. Have faith in the Creator, in what He has given you. You have it for a reason, we all do. This may be the reason. Tonight may be what you've been called for."
He nodded again, and she turned back to the glowing footprints, following them into the thick forest. They wandered through the trees toward the center of the bowl, toward where the chanting was coming from. The closer they got, the more the voices made her skin prickle. The voices were sisters. She thought she recognized some of them.
"Dear Creator," she prayed, "give me the strength to do what I must to help you. Give Jedediah strength too. Help us serve you to help others."
Little flickers of light came through the leaves. They crept closer. The trees around her were huge. The two of them glided from one trunk to another, no longer following the footprints. They could see glimpses now of something through openings in the underbrush. Slowly, they tiptoed forward across the open forest floor beneath large, spreading spruce trees. The needles were soft and quiet to walk on. Shoulder to shoulder, they slid behind low, heavy brush at the edge of woods. It was as close as they could go. Beyond lay a flat, round, open area. At least 100 candles were set on the ground in a ring, like a fence or a boundary, as if holding back the dark forest. Inside the candles was a circle drawn on the ground. It looked to be made of white sand that sparkled with little points of prismatic light. It looked like the descriptions of sorcerer's sand she had heard, although she had never actually seen any. It stood out clearly in the candlelight and the light of the moon overhead. Symbols were drawn with the same white sand. They were inside the circle, points of them touching the outer boundary of the circle at irregular intervals. Margaret had never seen the symbols before, but she knew some of the elements of them from an old book. They spoke to the underworld. About halfway in from the outer white line and candles, 11 sisters sat in a circle. Margaret stared harder, trying to see in the dim, flickering light. It looked as if each had a hood over her head, with holes cut for the eyes. They chanted in unison. Shadows from the sisters extended inward to a point in the center. In the center lay a woman, naked, except for a hood like the others. She lay on her back, her hands crossed over her breasts, her legs pressed together. 12. With the one in the center, that made 12. She searched the circle of sisters again. Even with the candles, it was still dark, and the candles were to the sisters' backs. Her eyes stopped on a form on the opposite side of the circle. Her breath caught in her throat. That form was larger,
and the rest. It was hunched, its head lowered, and without a hood. It sat at a convergence of lines in the symbols. It was not a sister. With a start, she saw the faint orange glow. The statue with the quillion was resting in its lap. She and Jedediah crouched, frozen, watching the circle of sisters as they chanted. After a time, one of them, to the side of the hunched form, stood. The chanting stopped. She spoke short, sharp words in a language Margaret didn't know. At points in the speech, her hand shot into the air, flinging sparkling dust over the naked woman in the center. The dust ignited, bathing the hooded sisters with brief, harsh light. At the flash, they all answered with odd, rhyming words. She and Jedediah exchanged looks, her own confused, frightened feelings reflected in his eyes. The standing sister flung both hands up, calling out a list of strange words. She went to the naked woman, stood at her head, and threw up her arms again. The sparkling dust caught fire once more. This time, the orange glow from the quillion brightened. The head of the hunched form slowly rose. Margaret made a silent gasp when she saw the face of the beast. Its fanged mouth opened with a low growl. The sister drew a delicately wrought silver scepter from her cloak and gave it sharp shakes as she chanted again, sprinkling water over the prone woman. Something was happening to the quillion. It brightened and then dimmed. The dark eyes of the beast watched the naked woman. Margaret stared, wide-eyed. Her heart pounded so hard it felt as if it would tear a hole in her chest. As the quillion faded, the beast's eyes began to glow orange, the same color orange as the quillion. As the quillion dimmed, the glow in the beast's eyes intensified until the little statue was dark and the thing's eyes shined bright. Two more sisters stood. They moved to each side of the first.